This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Before we bring in Brady Quinn, the former NFL quarterback, he was on the Pick Six podcast, and he was on for a little while, but I wanted to give you just a portion of what seems to have set off the internet and some former players in the NFL with what Brady had to say about C.J. Stroud, and here's a portion of that podcast.
And then there's some other stuff about interviews, and maybe, you know, for example, the Manning Passing Academy. I'd been told that, you know, he committed to it the night before, just kind of ghosted him, didn't show up. That's football royalty. And when you do that, that's going to kind of set off some alarms from people of like, hey, man, that's not how you conduct yourself, especially around the Manning family or just in general if you're going to be a franchise quarterback. So, look, I still view him as the second quarterback that should be taken in this draft class. He's the most accurate quarterback in this draft class. He showcased the athleticism and ability. Anytime I've been around the kid, he's been an upstanding young man who's grown and matured and the leader that I think NFL teams are looking for. So, you know, some of that stuff. And as far as the system he plays and all the talent he plays around, he can't help that. He just can deliver the ball like he has and put up the numbers that he did. So I think he'll be the number two quarterback taken, but there is some talk right now, and maybe it's smoke screens, who knows, that maybe some of the other teams are saying, well, wait a second, if Richardson has a higher ceiling, maybe he makes more sense for us to take if we can't have a guy like Bryce Young that we feel more confident about in his processing and decision-making.
And to put this in further context, Brady was asked about, you know, could C.J. Stroud be slipping? And then the last week there's been talk, only because Carolina seems to have focused in on Bryce Young, therefore C.J. Stroud is slipping. Well, if you're going from one to two, that's not a very far fall, or maybe to four. And it's typical around the draft that you start to hear a lot of things. And I thought I'd like to have Brady join us and maybe put it into further context here. He's on the show that precedes ours on Fox Sports Radio, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, the former Notre Dame quarterback who joins us now. How did this set the internet on fire, Brady?
Well, as you can imagine, Dan, thanks for having me on. I really thought you were just having me on because it's Meat Friday. And so I thought you were looking to have a meat stick come on and talk a little ball or something about the draft.
Wait, you called yourself a meat stick?
Yeah, that's what I've been called, at least. I mean, at Fox, I think when I first joined Fox, they called me Beef O'Brady is what they would call me. So I've had to overcome that.
Wow.
I guess I'm a good guest in that respect for Meat Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, this really became a firestorm, if you will, probably about 36 hours ago. And it was because someone had clipped off the clip that you just played. But what they did was they created a headline that created this kind of false narrative in regards to the entire focus being about the Manning Passing Academy and C.J. Stroud's decision not to go, which was odd because, one, it wasn't the first time that we had talked about that, maybe on that podcast, but on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, we had talked about that probably a couple of other times months ago in regards to, you know, hey, if there's any concerns about C.J. Stroud, what have you heard? Either from executives, people who are within the industry, who are insiders. And so I kind of brought that up. But of course, no one actually listened to even the clip that you just played, where if you listen to the clip, I think you could understand then that I was very complimentary of CJ Stroud, both in my impression of him, in my assessment of him. And I'm pretty sure either on this show or definitely on Big Noon Kickoff, I'm the guy who said he was going to win the Heisman last year. So it was a little bit odd to me that there was such a visceral reaction to really just the headline. And all it showed me was no one actually listened to the podcast. No one even clicked the link to listen to the actual quote from that clip. And we can get into furthermore some of the dynamics, but really the context of even that conversation before that part of it, we were talking about how could a player be dropping and why would CJ Stroud be dropping. And so I actually personalized it and talked about, you know, my experience going through the draft. And that's why I'm pretty sensitive to this kind of stuff for a lot of quarterbacks, because it's hard to overcome stigmas that get attached to you. I mean, Dan, I'm not sure if you can believe this, but, you know, when I was coming out, I'd heard this kind of leading up to the draft. And there was a national radio show host at the time who was like, I'm hearing he's too jacked. He looks like a savage without his shirt on. It's affecting his accuracy. You know, not sure if he's going to be able to do that. I don't know what national radio show host that could be, but I remember hearing that sort of thing. And it kind of stuck with me throughout the course of my career. It's like, oh, he's too built or too muscular. We've heard that a little bit about with Will Levis. And I kid, by the way, because I do believe at some point you had brought that up in a show at some point, Dan. But the point is...
Wait. That I said you were too jacked?
Yeah, I may be sensationalizing that a little bit like we tend to do sometimes in the media. I'm just kind of joking. But I think you had said someone had said...
Muscle-bound
or whatever.
No, what I was told was that you weren't consistent enough in the intermediate throws.
Okay. And then look, that's someone's assessment. That could be a fair assessment.
But that's a former quarterback who told me that. So...
Right.
Yeah, I stand by that. But I
understand.
Okay.
And all I'm pointing out is when the muscle bound thing came up about Will Levis, people then start saying, well, yeah, just like Brady. And I was like, okay.
Go back to the Manning stuff, though, because that.
Let me finish this point and we'll go back to
okay.
it. Okay. But the reason why I bring that up is because, and I'm sensitive to it, because I think a lot of times first impressions mean everything in the NFL. When you come into the league, especially nowadays with the way the media cycle works, you have a small window. And if you have this stigma attached to you and you can't overcome that, it becomes very hard to overcome that over the course of your career. And it really blew my mind when I saw the reaction from people like Ryan Clark, like RG3, or even Jalen Ramsey and Quandre Diggs, guys who I've never spoke to them. They don't know anything about me, my work ethic, film breakdown, anything else. And obviously didn't listen to the clip, because even as I talked to Ryan Clark last night, and I think as he heard it, he then kind of realized, okay, he was much more complimentary than I realized. So, you know, I think it became a little more controversial for a couple of reasons, probably because people just read the headline. That's one. And the other, because I do think people are sensitive to, and especially when you have David Mulugeta, who is CJ Stroud's agent, who's also Jalen Ramsey's agent, who's also Quandre Diggs' agent, who Ryan Clark's very comfortable and close to, who's also trying to protect the reputation of his client. The problem that he needs to worry about is not me. I'm one of his biggest fans. The problem is he needs to worry about other people who obviously have, you know, have that perception for whatever reason. And so again, I don't read a whole lot into it. I didn't really care whether he went to the Manning Passing Academy or not, but it was something I was told. And I felt like, all right, like of the things that if you have questions about CJ Stroud, what are they? Not really many, but that was something that was told to me by a number of people.
But you know how the business works. You know, when you say I'm hearing and you put ghosted the Manning family and you know, the first family of the NFL and, you know, that you could fall because of that. I mean, that's a juicy headline. That's made for the week before the draft, and people are going to run with that. And you're right. People don't read or listen to an entire interview. You know, unfortunately, we don't. And when you put ghosted the Manning Academy and you are hearing, well, when you hear, that's a report. That's Brady Quinn reporting, not, you know, if I say I'm hearing, I'm reporting. I don't think,
right.
So I think you're doing that. So you're told by a credible source that he ghosted the Manning, he no-showed at the Manning Passing Academy. Correct?
Yeah, that was what I was told.
Okay.
And again, and I think our job being in the media is to take that information, because it's part of our job to say, like, what are you hearing? If we have people who are telling us that sort of thing, it's important to say that, but it's also important then to whether that's credible or not. And the reality is everything I said afterwards discredits whatever that is. So again, I think a lot of us kind of find ourselves in this fine line of, you know, I was fortunate enough, but unfortunate enough where my career wasn't successful enough, but I played for a lot of different teams and I crossed paths with a lot of different players and front office people and coaches. And so when you get to know people, you know, obviously you're going to hear a lot of things, but it's your job in one way is to communicate that. But in the same way, I'm also trying to portray to people that's not a concern. And this young man should be looked at as the second overall pick or the second quarterback taken, which if Houston passes on him, I mean, those rumors, I don't even know what to make of that. But that's also part of the job, too. Unless people just don't want you to tell anything. And we just say, hey,
well, I think
everything's great.
I think you got to be careful in how you frame it. Because if I listen, and I listen to about 6 minutes worth, where you talked about, well, you're in the system at Ohio State. Under pressure, he's not good. You talked about you threw away interviews. You threw away that word kind of floated out there. They didn't follow up on it. What happened in the interviews with the teams? Because I don't know what you heard, but you made a reference to that. So what,
again,
is he a bad interview?
So like the S2 test, maybe it wasn't as good as someone like Bryce Young. And okay. No, not that he's been bad at interviews. That hasn't been the case at all. But in regards to how every one of these guys conduct themselves, there's differences, right? And they're all being compared to one another.
Yeah.
And it's more relationship with the Carolina Panthers with the number one overall pick. So I wasn't saying anything different than anything that's already been said or reported in that regard. Because if you have the number one overall pick with a team that needs a quarterback, they're comparing all these guys. And so, you know, as far as Bryce Young goes, he's blown everything out of the park. There's not as many reservations about it. CJ Stroud, too, has done that to a degree. There's just a few people that I've talked to that there's some concerns there. Again, not my opinion, but what others. So that's part of this whole deal, though, Dan. And so I don't know how you want, like, me or anyone else to do our job when we're asked a question, but we're also trying to provide our personal opinion of why whatever we're hearing shouldn't be read. There should be a whole lot that's read into it.
Well, once again, I'll go back to what I said, that, you know, people take the easy way out. When I hear it, then I want to hear more, just to be fair. And if I have a problem, then I would say that, or sometimes framing it, how you frame it, that's really important with people. If you say, look, I'm going to tell you some things I've been told that I don't agree with. If you state it and it, like, you are emphatic, sometimes when you're on a podcast, it gets loose. You're just talking.
It gets loose.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. And that's 100%. Where people, they zero in on those things and they want to get something. We're leading up to the draft. They're looking for a headline here.
No, and I understand that. And it probably could have been framed better. I mean, I think I'm using probably more of the wordage that I was told.
Yes.
And so however you want to portray that, right? But when the Manning Passing Academy comes out, what, June 23rd, 26th it was of 2022, and they've got a list of guys and he's on that list and then he ends up not being there.
Is that a big deal, maybe, Brady? Is that a big deal?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And that's what's crazy about this.
Okay.
Is for some reason, like, this caught fire, like it attacks his character or whatever else. I'm like, I don't care. I don't think it has any impact. And by the way, no one's listening to me or any other analyst that talks about it, and it's not going to persuade them one way or another. And furthermore, this is that time of year where you get so many things that are thrown out there.
Yeah.
That are smoke screens or don't have any validity to them, just to see how teams react to them. So, again, no one's going to listen to the podcast. They're just going to, you know, read a headline. And the hard part is like, you know, then it's like, well, you got to frame it better. It's like, well, no, I think people should probably read articles and not just the title, or
no,
they should probably listen to the podcast.
No, can't
and
do
not
it.
Just jump to conclusions.
You got to protect yourself, Brady. You do. I've said things on this show and I'm going, wait a minute. Somebody is grabbing it and running with it, and then you can't. It's like you're trying to catch somebody at the Boston Marathon. You're not catching them. And that's where you got to protect yourself. When, you know, did you talk to Ryan Clark yesterday?
I did last night.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good civil conversation. Yeah, I think there's going to be a difference in how we kind of see some things. But again, you know, he's someone that I respect as a former player, respect him when he was a player, respect him as an analyst. But I didn't take that approach to really him or anyone else, right? You know, and that's the thing about Twitter is everyone wants to kind of take some approach to someone they don't know instead of just reaching out and calling.
Well, Jalen Ramsey calls you out and said you were a bust and you should have gone. Like, that has nothing to do with this. I would never question your ability as an analyst because you weren't a star in the NFL. Like,
right. Well, again, it's like, how do you want to address that? Like, yeah, I know things didn't work out the way I wanted them to.
Yeah.
I'm glad they've worked out for him the way they've wanted him to. I've always thought he's one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Okay, let me get this before I run out of time. The quarterback you have the most concerns about on the field who could be drafted in the first round is who?
Well, it's Anthony Richardson, and it's just because of lack of experience.
Okay.
I mean, quarterbacking is an experience-driven position. He has the most upside of anyone. I don't know that we've ever seen a quarterback with the athleticism he has, the arm strength, everything. And to me, like when I go and turn on the Tennessee tape and I watch him flip his hips and turn around and deliver a strike on a deep curl route, I sit there and go, there it is. You know, when you see other instances of that throughout the course of the season or in games, there's just some inconsistencies because he's young at the position. But there's some risk because, you know, to me, I look at Josh Allen and I say, everyone kept saying he was inaccurate and he was coming out from Wyoming. And it was a poor argument to be made because they just look at completion percentage. If you watch the tape on him, you're like, okay, he's got a live arm. The guys he's throwing to probably, you know, are having a hard time coming out of the breaks, picking up the ball, catching the ball. But if you give him an offense he's in for 3 years, if you give him supporting cast around him, he's going to look like a really accurate quarterback. And it just so happened year three, he explodes. And they got him Stephon Diggs. And they got him, you know, he kept him with Brian Daboll the whole time. You know, that's the same thing for Anthony Richardson. You know, someone like that, I think, needs that sort of stability. Really, all these guys for that matter, but probably him more so than anyone else, you know, for that reason, so he can continue to grow and mature in the position.
Can we take anything out of context with what Brady said?
Yeah, that's no problem, Dan. We can do that. I'm going to go with Brady Quinn says the next Josh Allen is Anthony Richardson.
Oh, okay.
See, that's funny because I just heard him say that he's too inexperienced to make it at the next level.
Mm. Boom.
That's how it works, Brady.
I really thought, Dan, you were going to pick up more on the whole jacked up thing. Like when I came in, it kind of flew over your head a little bit with that one. So.
Oh, no, I knew you were talking about me, but I didn't recognize the quote because I don't remember saying that because you're too jacked, that meant you couldn't be a great
That's
quarterback.
That's the thing, Dan, is the quotes don't have to be accurate anymore. You just create a headline and run with it. Right? Like, again, in the same one-minute clip you played, I'm saying the guy should be the second quarterback taking second overall pick and complimenting him, but no one hears that because no one actually listens to
it. All right, meat stick. Have a good weekend, all right? You know?
Thank you. I'll do my best.
And don't skip leg day, okay? I think you're spending a little too much time up top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that once or twice before, you know?
I think you need Saquon Barkley thighs, you know? You could have been a better quarterback with Saquon Barkley thighs.
I wish I had his thighs. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it.
Going to be taken out. Oh, man, I wish I had his thighs.
On Meat Friday?
Yeah. Perfect, whoa! You know. You are our meat stick, our meat puppet. Thank you, Brady.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Guys. That's Brady Quinn. He works for Fox Sports. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
What's the music theme today? What are we doing, Marvin?
Just whatever Marv wants to do.
So good.
Or Fritzy loves it.
Not where I want to be.
Yeah, but that is not a good litmus test. That's not a good sign if you go, man, Fritzy loved the music today.
Maneater. Play Maneater.
Intelligence runs in the family. Innovation runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. The Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Every member waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. The new poll question is, who was more deserving of an ejection, Draymond Green or Joel Embiid? Seton?
Yep, you got it.
All right.
Nailed it.
Let's go around the room, then we'll bring in Tim Legler from the Mothership. Who deserved to be ejected from the game? Now, Embiid wasn't. He just got a technical. Harden was ejected. Fritzy?
I would have sent Embiid to the showers.
Okay. Seton?
Draymond.
All right. Marv?
Draymond.
Paulie?
Embiid.
I'm going to go Draymond. Let's bring in Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, one of the great shooters in the history of the NBA. All right, Legs. Who was more deserving of being thrown from their game? Draymond was. Embiid just got a technical.
You're saying I only get one choice?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing here? Okay. If I have one choice, I'm going to go Draymond. But I think they both should have been ejected. Now, look, I want to be clear about something. If it was solely up to me, neither one of those guys is probably getting ejected. Okay. And I got some reasons for that. One is the fans pay enough of a price during the regular season that the number of games that these guys don't play, with load management, the number of, you know, how much longer they take to come back from injuries than they used to. Now you're also going to punish fans that want to watch playoff games by kicking guys out for stuff that really didn't hurt anybody. I think Sabonis sold that pretty well. I think Claxton sold it pretty well, the way he collapsed to the ground. So if it's up to me solely, neither guy's getting ejected. But if you're going to throw out Draymond Green for retaliating when he was provoked, you've got to eject Joel Embiid for the same exact reason. He was provoked. He intentionally tried to kick him in the groin. It just so happens he missed the target. To me, intent should go behind it. If that's the basis for the ejection, Dan, they both should have been ejected.
Explain to me how James Harden is thrown out.
I can't, because that's one of the strangest ejections I've ever seen. In the 10 years I played, 20-plus at ESPN, I don't know that I've seen a worse ejection. James Harden, right? I mean, and any referee should know this looking at the review. If you're a basketball player, you've got the ball and you've got a guy crowding you to the extent that he was being crowded. All airspace is taken away. There's already contact before James Harden has even initiated his move. Right? The ball's going to be in his right hand. Well, your left hand, just the momentum of your left hand is going to go forward and it's going to go out to fend off the defender. You then have to make the determination in looking at, if you're Tony Brothers and you're looking at that film, you have to say, did he intentionally punch him in the groin? And that's the determination they made. And I just don't know how you conclude that, when to me, it was so innocuous. The motion with his left hand was so short and abbreviated, and he was just trying to get some momentum and fend him off to take that first dribble. It's an obvious basketball play. So I was shocked by it. But look, if you go look at the tape, at most you say, okay, offensive foul. And then if you really want to get extreme, let's give him a flagrant one because of the area of the body that he struck. There's no way you can toss a player from a game, particularly a superstar, from a game over something that to me was completely unintentional.
I would have given, at worst, Harden a foul, offensive foul. I would have called Royce O'Neal for flopping.
Man, listen, this is a whole other subject. Dan, do you remember a number of years ago they addressed this because it had gotten out of control?
This was the J.J. Barea
right
rule.
And they had it at a point where it was in the rule book that if you flopped a certain number of times, you build up a, sort of like a point system like we have with flagrants, you could be suspended for a game. Obviously, that just went away because I've never seen an era in this league in which every trip, virtually every trip, someone is on the ground trying to trick an official. So I do want to give the officials a little bit of leeway here in saying I can't imagine how hard their job is, because you can't see it all, right? Some of it you catch out of your peripheral. And when you see a guy snap his head back and shoulders go back and fly on the ground, and these are big, strong professional athletes, you know, your inclination as an official is like, I better call something. Something must have happened. It's so frequent now that it's become a total sideshow to the actual action. It's an art form. These guys should all have strict Screen Actors Guild cards. They're perfecting trying to trick officials into getting a call. What happened to the old days where I'm just going to guard you? I'm going to stay on my feet. I'm going to guard you the best I can. I'm going to contest the shot at the end. And if you score on me, I'm going to do the same thing the next time. Like, that mentality is gone. It's, let me see if I can get something here. Let me see if I can somehow, you know, force an offensive foul, force the official to go looking at a review. It's amazing to me the way that these guys flail about the court with very little contact to precipitate it.
Tim Legler wants you to get off his lawn, ESPN NBA analyst. Kawhi didn't play. I've been fascinated this past week, maybe 10 days, with Kawhi Leonard and how history is going to remember him. And we're calling him Rare Jordan, because when he plays, he's Jordan-like, but it's rare when he plays, and it's a treat when he does, but then he doesn't play last night. When it's all said and done, are we lumping him in? Is he with Kevin Durant? Is he with Steph Curry? Is he, you know, the new wave that's, you know, going into the top 15 or 20 players of all time?
Yeah, there's two ways of looking at the answer to that question. I'm going to say no. The short answer is no, he won't be. And it's because of what you just mentioned. I thought the same thing. When I saw him in the first game go against Kevin Durant, and miraculously, I think it's the first time they played against each other since he got to the Clippers 4 years ago. When I saw him go up against Kevin Durant, I was so much anticipating that matchup. And look at him play so spectacularly in that game. I thought the same thing. Man, what have we been robbed of by not watching that more often,
yeah,
you know, over the last, you know, 5 years. But as a result of that, I don't think he will be lumped in there, because I think when you look at players, Dan, historically, there's two ways to look at it when you want to rank them. Rank them according to their talent, and then you have to also rank them according to their career. And for me, that means being out there, being available, playing a lot of games, you know, missing the number of postseasons that he has missed. So the talent is undeniable. I think Kawhi Leonard belongs in that category with those guys. But when you start talking about waxing poetic about their careers, he's not going to be put into that same category as the guys you just mentioned.
The over-under for LeBron points against the Grizzlies game 3 is 28.5. Now, we've been debating if he should respond to Dylan Brooks. Brooks saying he's too old, I don't respect you unless you put 40 on me. What do you think LeBron should do in game 3 against the Grizzlies and Dylan Brooks?
You know, the great thing about LeBron James is he can go for 35 or 40 and have nothing to do with Dylan Brooks. It just happens organically by what the game requires and his greatness. So I think he's going to dominate the game. That doesn't necessarily mean you go for a huge scoring number. He's going to do what it takes to control the game, facilitate, make guys better, take advantage of scoring opportunities.
But what would Kobe do? Let's say
Kobe, different mentality. See, so Kobe didn't have the responsibility on his plate to make sure everybody else was cool on his team. Kobe didn't have to think that way. Now, he still did it because, you know, he was a great player. He'd make plays, but he was a raw attacker. That's what Kobe was going to do. That's what Michael Jordan was as a player. LeBron has a different set of responsibilities nightly. And he's also got Anthony Davis he's looking at, you know, every other night, looking at that barometer, like, where's his energy level tonight? Maybe I have to do a little extra as a scorer. If Anthony Davis is rolling early, I don't have to do as much as a scorer. So he reads the situation, and he takes advantage of scoring opportunities when they're there. It just happens he's so great. That could mean a 35, 40-point game that has nothing to do with Dylan Brooks, you know, getting his thermometer up.
Yeah, I said, no, you're LeBron. You have nothing to prove, and don't even acknowledge Dylan Brooks. That's what he wants. You're going to drive him crazy by not acknowledging him. And Dylan Brooks he's a Draymond wannabe. You know, he's part of the headlines. He's getting attention. He wants all those things. Last thing you want to do is acknowledging him.
Yeah, I think even a better comparison for me, I said a couple of days ago, he's more like the modern-day version of Lance Stevenson.
Yeah.
Right? Blowing in LeBron's ear and, like, all the stuff that he was doing. The difference is that Dylan Brooks is a more physical and more capable and better defender. So, like, LeBron has to come ready to play against a guy like Dylan Brooks defensively. Lance Stevenson, it was more literally like just a sideshow clown act trying to get him to react at all. So I can say I won, like kind of like what Dylan Brooks did the other night, clapping when LeBron finally acknowledged him by staring at him. You know, Dylan Brooks clapping in his face. It's literally like, you know, a child trying to desperately get that attention that they seek. And that's what Dylan Brooks is pretty good at. And so I agree, he shouldn't acknowledge him. Don't stare him down. Don't talk to him early in the game. Just go be yourself and make sure that when the game's over, we're saying that LeBron James is the best player on the floor.
Golden State blowing out Sacramento. I don't think anybody was really surprised there. But I'm wondering about this. When you play with a teammate that you're constantly answering for, like at what point does Golden State and Steph and Clay, Steve Kerr, like, oh, we got to answer for Draymond again. Draymond's not the player he once was. But they're still answering for him. How? I mean, is there conversation inside that locker room? Does anybody say to Draymond, hey, come on, you know, you can't be this. You can't do this. Does Steve Kerr take a role in any of this stuff?
I don't think those conversations really are had. Maybe with Bob Meyer, maybe the front office. But I really think that they believe he's such a volatile person that they kind of don't want to acknowledge it directly to him. And they say all the right things publicly about having his back and supporting him, and we wouldn't have won these championships without him, so we're going to be there and have his back. I'm sorry. You can't tell me at some level when Steph Curry goes home and he's sitting down for dinner with his family, or Klay Thompson or Steve Kerr goes home, that they're not like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe, like, I'm dealing with this again. Like, the stuff that he finds himself in the midst of, and whether you want to say that's his fault or not, is what Sabonis did to him. You know, he didn't have that emotional break that you need in certain moments, man. Put the brakes on. And what he should have done, and we just talked about this, the flailing, the flopping, the guys acting. How about if you're Draymond, when he's got a hold of your leg, just go down.
Yeah.
And even if you want to cause some damage to Sabonis while also getting a foul on Sabonis, fall on him. That's the best way to get back at it, because then they're going to say, well, wait a second. Maybe this is a flagrant foul against Sabonis for grabbing his leg and twisting him to the ground. Draymond didn't have the wherewithal to think about that in the moment. Instead, it's, I'm going to get back at this guy, yank my foot free, and it's absolutely avoidable what he did with it next. He could have stepped to the side. He did not have to stomp on his chest. So to answer your question, I think to his face, no. And they say all the right things publicly. When they're privately with their own thoughts or their own conversations, it has to be unbelievably frustrating.
Well, he punched his own teammate in practice, Legs. So he can't even control himself in an environment where it's team friendly. I mean, he's not going to be able to go, oh, you know what? Let me act this way. He's bought into a WWE role. And it can be entertaining, but, man, it can be exhausting.
And he is, you know, it's a shame because it really does detract from what he is as a player, which is a guy that really helps you win. I mean, he is, to me, as great as he is defensively, I think he's more important to them offensively because he is the guy that makes every read. He makes all the anticipatory passes. He reads all of that action with the screening on the wings and the back cuts, the dribble handoffs. It's all reads on his part. You have to have an incredibly high IQ to do that. Their offense flows when he's on the floor. Defensively, yeah, he's obviously very important. I think offense is even more important. And instead, we find ourselves so often talking about these things and negatively affecting his team when he's had so much of an impact on winning his entire career.
It's this time of the year that we bring up that you only played in three playoff games, and that was against peak Michael Jordan, 1997.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and unfortunately, like I have a reminder all the time that my whole career was the 90s, and he won six rings. He didn't really, and if he didn't want to go hit curveballs for a couple of years, he probably has eight rings, I'm guessing, which basically takes up the entire decade of my career.
But do you think if Jordan was still with the Bulls, didn't go play baseball for whatever reason, do they win eight in a row?
I think they do. And, you know, here's the thing you can't answer is, you know, when he left, he was clearly fried mentally. So the, you know, question is, well, okay, he doesn't play baseball, but he just continues to play in that state of mind, you know, maybe not. But that team was certainly good enough. And I have a feeling once, you know, the warm weather started to hit around April 15th, no matter what his regular season was like or what he felt like mentally, the competitiveness comes out again. And I think that team probably does win eight straight. Instead, you know, Hakeem should have eternal thanks that he decided to go do that for a couple of years so they could get a couple in Houston.
Great to talk to you again, Legs. Thanks for making time for us.
Got it, Dan.
Anytime. Jim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, and won the three-point shooting contest, played in three playoffs. He's the Mike Trout of ESPN analyst.
Wow.
Three playoff games.
Why is this?
I don't think somebody's going to Mike Trout. You're the Tim Legler of Major League playoffs. Three games. All right, let me take a break. I don't know why. It's Friday. It felt mean-spirited right there. I apologize. We'll clean that up in the rear. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
Come on. Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
On Eileen.
Anybody knows somebody named Eileen and people would bring this song up? Paulie had a... No, your girlfriend in college who had one leg, but
her name wasn't Eileen.
You nicknamed her Eileen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Peg.
Oh, dear.
That is...
You guys are mean.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
She was hot, man.
You didn't call her legs, did you?
No. I can outrun her. I can outrun anybody.
Dang. Whew, it's a Friday. Yeah. All together now. Except for Todd. Okay. All righty. Before we get to Kevin Hart, good idea, bad idea, Paulie. You have a new, is this a new segment for the show?
We played this multiple times, Dan, but usually the ideas go out into the ether moments after we do
good
the
idea,
segment.
Good idea, bad idea.
Okay, so this was lightly thought out this morning. The Oakland A's appear to be moving to Vegas. They bought land. They basically announced they're moving to Vegas. And I saw some reports that the new stadium in Vegas for the A's would not be ready till 2027, which means 24, 25, 26, they got to stay in Oakland as a lame duck franchise. They didn't get fans anyway. They average 11,000 a game, and that's probably paid.
Okay, I think people are under the impression that the Oakland A's aren't a good baseball team or a good organization.
Right.
If I go back 10 years, 11 years, I'm going to guess that the Oakland A's have made the playoffs in probably 6 of those 11 years. Maybe 7 of those 11 years. But nobody's showing up anyway. And they don't spend money, but, you know, they have the Moneyball Billy Beane there in the front office that they do produce some quality teams that, you know, they're not going to threaten for a championship, but they do make the playoffs. Yeah, Paul.
They've won the AL West 3 times in the past decade. They've had 5 90-win seasons. Four 90-win seasons in the past 10 years.
How many times have they made the playoffs in the last 11 years?
6.
So 6 out of 11. Okay. There are a lot of organizations that would take that. Even if, I mean, the stadium is terrible. That, you know, there's no reason. I don't know if you can overlook that, even if you win, that it's a bad stadium. You know, it's not like Fenway that's old, but it still had charm to it. Now, they refurbished it. And then, you know, the Raiders are saying, why didn't you guys do something with this stadium? We would have stayed. So they've lost. They're going to lose 3 teams in 5 years. They're going to lose the Raiders, the A's. Golden State went to San Francisco. Yeah, Paul.
So this idea is based off, if you're an A's fan, are you going to continue to go to the ballpark the next 3 years when you know they're halfway out the town.
Okay.
Instead, the Oakland A's spending the next 3 years as a lame duck before the Vegas stadium is ready. What if they play the next 3 years in three different cities? And these three cities are amongst the cities that the MLB is looking at, rumored to be looking at for expansion.
Okay, so Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Nashville, Salt Lake City, Orlando.
Montreal,
Charlotte. Some version of those. They go to the best ballpark in town and play a year in each of those cities. Mm. Attendance will probably be pretty good. MLB gets a litmus.
Well, it can't be worse.
Right. Yeah. MLB would get a nice litmus test of how the team would be supported. And, you know, I know there's some downsides that and you guys can chop up as you please. But that, I think that would be, put some buzz around the A's before they move to
Vegas. Yes, Todd.
I like it a lot. Give other teams, give other cities a chance, see what the numbers look like as far as the support. Why keep them in a place that no one cares about them? Just move them around. Yeah, see what's up.
If you're a player, do you want to basically go on tour for 3 years? That feels like a tough ask.
Yes. Yeah.
Or but you would get to play in front of people who actually show up and
yeah, but watch. I don't know if they're going to show up.
I think if you went
I mean, these cities all have, you know, pretty high-quality minor league teams. You know, Nashville has, what, the Stars? These guys,
but maybe they've
Portland.
Showed up. To, like, if you are in Nashville and there's a ballpark there, there's a good one. If you had the A's in town for a year, you get to see Max Scherzer come.
But then how are you going to play in that ballpark when you have a minor league team playing in that ballpark?
We're working on that.
Okay.
I said as lightly thought out. Doubleheaders.
Kevin Hart set to join us on loan from DraftKings. Check out the new daily No Sweat Same Game Parlay, where new and existing users can bet a daily NBA Same Game Parlay. Get a bonus bet back if they lose. New customers can bet $5 on any NBA pregame money line and win $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Kevin Hart joining us on the program. Hey, you got to be happy. You got your quarterback under contract. What did you think with Jalen Hurts' deal?
Well-deserved, right? I love it. I think what Jalen Hurts has done in the game of football and outside of the game of football has positioned him to be where he is now. And what I'm highlighting is the level of professionalism that he has put on display, right? You're looking at a guy that's third year, and from how he handles the media, from how he really embraces the role of leader in leadership, taking responsibility every opportunity for good and bad, right? And not looking to be the guy that's responsible for everything. He looks to put his team first. He looks to put his players first in any conversation. And those are the things that I watched. Those are the things that I picked up. So when you're talking about investing in someone and putting that franchise type number and attaching it to a big salary, all those boxes have to check. And he's done an amazing job of checking them all. And I love that he set a new bar for other people to follow.
How did you come to the rationale that you were going to buy an eagle, an actual eagle?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm successful. So when I think about the levels of success that I've been able to reach, you know, you got to think outside the box, right? And during this time, you know, I don't think I've ever been more closer to my franchise as a fan. And I felt the only way to take the next step was to own an eagle. Now, I do want to say that eagle has attacked my entire family. You know, we had to get rid of it. So I don't have it anymore. By the way, I didn't get a recoupment. Turns out when you buy an endangered species, they got a clause that says you're on your own. they never cuts loose. So we just ended up setting it off, letting it fly off one of the canyons out there near where I live. You know, and I think it's better for that eagle. You know, if I see him again, it's fine. But we try to domesticate him, which I don't think was fair for that eagle.
Did you really name him Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, his name was Jalen. We were feeding that eagle collard greens and macaroni and cheese. And I think that set him off. His diet was a little strange. And I said he had to go when he picked me up. There was a time that eagle got me. To fly off with me and called it quits.
Did you cry after the Super Bowl?
My son did, and that made me cry. There's actually a video that I put up, man, that really hurt my heart, man. My youngest is 5 years old. I'm quite sure if anybody Googles just Kevin Hart's son crying after the Eagles lost, you'll see it. But he was so crushed, you know, because basically my son is taught to love the Eagles. I took him to Eagles games and he's seen us win. So it's always been a celebration of win. He never felt like the hard loss. So all week I was building it up as the big game. Are you ready, son? And I went to the Super Bowl. I didn't take him. And, you know, the brothers, his brothers and sisters at the house sent me videos of him with his jersey on, watching the game, and we lost, man. He just broke down. He was so hurt, and it crushed me. It crushed me.
But this is being a fan. I mean, that's the first lesson. You can have the high. That's the easy part. But, man, when when you lose and it hurts, all right, now you're a fan.
Well, I told him. I said, the beauty of loving something is loving it through the good and the bad. And I was like, it's going to get good again. It's bad right now. I said, but that's why we got to be good fans and root again. You know, I gave him a good life lesson because I'm full of those.
I know you do stuff for DraftKings, but I'm curious, the biggest bet you ever placed on a sporting event was how much?
Oh, that's just ridiculous, okay? I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me knocked in the head. That's what you're trying to do.
Wait, how would I get you knocked in the head? I'm just curious. I'll tell you the most I ever spent. I put $3,000 on a college bowl game.
So you're trying to say you manage your money better than me? What are you trying to say? What are you doing?
How much?
Is this a race thing? Are we making this about race? What are you doing?
What's the most you ever placed on a game?
I am not comfortable with giving that information, but let's just say I'm not a stranger to making a big bet.
But are you like Drake or Floyd Mayweather type money?
You know, I like the fact that it's unknown. I like the fact that the world of Kevin and his bad habits are his bad habits, right? I don't believe in putting those things out just in case things ever hit the fan. I don't want to be like, man, what's because he was doing that?
Do you have to run it by your wife? Have you ever had to run, like, hey, I'm going to spend money on this, hon?
Nope. Because just like you don't know, she don't know. So that way, the beauty of what I do is just what I do, right? Nobody has to know. I think that's golden territory. That makes sense.
How did you get involved with DraftKings?
Oh, man. I can say through good relationships, right? Great connectivity. Friends of friends that know friends made a great introduction, and that great introduction turned into great opportunity because there was a need for a certain type of content and engagement. And the world of content that they were looking for and the want of engagement, I felt that could deliver. And with the right partnership, we felt that we could do it together.
Kevin Hart joining us on behalf of DraftKings. Does The Rock do a power pump before a scene?
You know what he does do? He lathers up. He puts on a bunch of baby oil. You got to take a second to get rid of that smell. Yeah, so there's some truth for you. It's a little inside bit for you. Oh, Mr. Baby Lotion himself. Got to make his arms shiny before every scene. Now me, I got a natural pump and glow.
I like it. Yeah.
You ever see my triceps on screen? But they pop. They just pop.
What kind of athlete were you? Are you?
What do you mean? A Division I prospect all across the board? But I don't know if you noticed, though, I grew up in Thailand. So a lot of my offers came from colleges in Thailand. That's why you probably don't know about
it. You were you were considered tall in Thailand.
Absolutely. Actually, if you go to the website, thailand.edu.net.u.them, you'll see that there I was a star. I mean, I did it. I really did. And then I had to come to the States. And then, you know, I was like, well, do I want to play sports anymore? It was a lot. So I just stopped.
What was the moment where you said, I'm going to get into comedy? Was there a person or a movie, a moment?
I think the moment where I really made a decision to do comedy is when I felt like modeling was just going to present difficulty for the other people in the business, right? Like, you know, I was a model out the gate. I'm not sure if you know this, but when I was seeing early success as a model, I just started to worry if there would be any work for others,
yeah,
or if I was going to take it all. And, you know, I was like, I got another opportunity in comedy. Maybe I focus on that. And I merged the world of sex appeal and funny because nobody else was doing it. And I did it. And I had a high level of success in doing it.
But you never did nudes, though, when you were modeling, did you?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
Oh, you did.
That's why I was so big. I was huge. I did it all, man. Okay. You know, in the beginning, because you gotta find your lane, right? Because, like, what do they refer to? I think they refer to my body in the business as sculpted. I think that's what they say. It's like when it looks like somebody drew you.
Yeah.
So there it is. That's the word. Chiseled. They used to call me a small chiseled man. That's what the agents would say. I'm not sure. You should know this. Did you do your research?
No, I did not. I did most of the research had to do on other things, but not the modeling part of this. I didn't know that. Or your athleticism.
I don't know how you don't have this stuff. Like, your producers should definitely, like, I don't know who they are, but at this point, I just wonder if they're doing
it. Oh, they're going to be fired. Yeah, they'll be fired after this. But if I said, let's have a basketball game, you, Drake, and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Are you asking who's the best?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you could have put me in a company of two worse athletes. Drake, a.k.a. Bad Knees Bobby.
But he thinks he can play. He sits courtside. He's so close to getting in the game, Kevin.
At some point, somebody has to ask Drake, what are you doing? Right? Like with these basketball workouts and hiring these shooting coaches, what are you doing? Okay, it's over. It's not going
to
happen.
It never started for it to be over.
It started. So I don't think he has the right people in his life that are giving him hard honesty.
Well, what about Justin Bieber? Bieber can play a little bit.
Bieber can play a little bit, but it's still a hobby. It's an extracurricular activity. It's fun.
Okay.
I think Drake in his mind thinks that he's going to get a call. Yeah. I think he does. I think he thinks that the Toronto Raptors are going to say, are you interested in a 10-day contract? Something like he has a warped POV as to what can happen. And that's my worry here. That's my big worry.
And Mayweather doesn't bother you?
Mayweather doesn't bother me because it's a hobby. Hmm. It's a hobby. You know, Floyd's not trying to do it for a living. He's not out doing basketball drills at 6 a.m. You know, he's not working with NBA coaches. Floyd gets it. It's fun.
It's great to talk to you.
It's always good to talk to you. We should do it more. But I question, like, the company you keep, man. Next time, I would love to come in to a more well-versed interview just with you.
I had the Eagles, right? I had that you got an Eagle named Jalen Hurts that you let go.
Yeah, but I just wish you knew more about my athletic modeling. Made just would have given us more of a highlighted opportunity. That's all. But it's good.
Is that an Audemars on your wrist?
Or? Yes, it is.
Okay. Yes, it is. Okay. So somebody did a little. Somebody knows a little bit about something.
Well, somebody knows a little bit about something. It's actually great that you bring that up. I want to say Audemars Piguet is an amazing brand. As one of the faces of the brand, I just want to say,
hey, why don't you get us both watches here? Because, you know.
What just happened? Is this about race again? Yeah. Did you do it again? Did you do it again?
I think I did.
Oh, my God. Two times.
I think everything's about race. My bad. My bad. Thanks. Thank
you. Good talking to you, man.
Yeah. And yes. Thanks again. And good luck. And talk to you soon.
All right. My guy. Take it easy.
Kevin Hart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The boundlessly capable all-electric EQS SUV from Mercedes-Benz with available transparent hood technology. So advanced, it can see through sheet metal. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS-SUV.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.